Welcome to Bible and Stuff, a podcast about the Bible
and stuff.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Tanner.
Sorry, I got a little hyped up.
Hey, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do about that.
No, it's all good. Yeah. Oh, Tanner.
Today, we're talking about the third commandment.
Yeah, we are.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? And what is the third commandment, you might ask?
Something about taking the Lord's name in vain. Don't think we're supposed to do it.
No, I don't think so either. But I think there's a lot of confusion about around like what that actually means. So I'm pretty pumped to dig into this today.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be fun.
You're passionate about this. When I first met you, this is one of like the first conversations we had, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
I am playing the cards pretty close to the chest right now, aren't I? Because this is like something I've been preaching on, but I haven't literally been preaching. It's something I've been talking about for a long time and ragging on. What's the word I'm looking for, Glenn?
I thought I nailed it when I said you're passionate about it, but
that's
whatever.
Good. Let's go with that. I just want to give the people a taste of like half the stuff that gets cut out is me going like, what is the word that I'm trying to find?
That is also true. I feel like that has been an ongoing theme since I met you as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a brain problem or what, but I wish it would go away. All right. Well, speaking of names, Glenn, I wanted to take a second and let's talk about names. So,
okay.
Do you like your name?
I'm indifferent about it.
That's it?
So I think I've never like hated my name.
Okay.
But I've also never been like, man, I love my name. Well, like pure example of this, when my son was born, we were like looking through lists of names and everything. And we were like, well, my dad's name is Glenn. His dad's name was Glenwood. Like, do we keep that name going on? And I was just like, no. No, we're going to name him something else.
Not doing it.
Not that I would have been completely opposed to it, but no.
And so, hold on. Your grandpa's name being Glenn Wood, which, by the way, way cooler than Glenn.
It is way cooler.
Like, significantly better.
So, if
you had named Lincoln Glenn, it should have been Glenn Wood.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, we may talk about this more later. There is some tie in there. But that is also why my name is spelt G-L-E-N.
That's what I was going to say. N. Is it why your name is spelt wrong?
No, it's not spelt wrong.
It's because it's just an abbreviation of Glenwood.
Yeah.
But both of your names are spelled wrong because it's Glenn with one N and Bran with two N's. Like, instead of like Bran, like Bran Flakes.
Like Raisin. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You have the extra N. It's just in the wrong place.
Yeah. It's a little annoying. Everybody jokingly calls me Glennon because they know that it's only one N, but they like to act as if it's multiple. What about you, though?
Well, so what I was going to ask, my follow up was like, so when you were a kid, you didn't have like a preferred name. Like, I wish I was called this, because you don't care.
Yeah, no. See, I think I always wanted a cool nickname, but it had nothing to do with the fact that my name was Glenn. I just wanted one.
See, I'm the complete opposite. I, from an early age, knew like if I could be named something else, this is what it would be.
Okay.
It rang high in my mind about like, can we get this done?
Wait,
I
want to try
to
guess
like
it.
Court and figure this out. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
It's much cooler than Tanner, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. So it's not like, well, I'm not going to, I was about to say, it's not like this name, but I don't want to offend
somebody. Yeah. I didn't, in case you haven't noticed, I did not like Tanner. Not a big fan of Tanner. It's a stupid name. Sorry, Mom. I know you listen to the show. But they had a T thing. So I was the youngest of me and my brother, and then we had two cousins who were older than me also. I was the youngest of that group of four, and they all had T names. So I was kind of stuck. And then I think my dad had a thing about wanting me and my brother to both have six-letter names. His name was Taylor.
Yeah.
And so I became Tanner, which, you know, compared to Taylor, is at least not a girl's name, but sure. But I hope he listens to this. But is still stupid. Like it's a profession, but it's not a cool profession. Like, sure. You know, people talk about last names like Smith and whatever. Like, at least those are, I'm just like tan stuff. Also, I'm pale. So it's just like,
yeah,
it immediately. Okay. So, right, yeah, so, I want to hear your guess.
Well, how about give me at least the first letter. Give me like a little something to go off.
I think that's going to ruin it.
Okay. All right.
We'll say it's towards the end of the alphabet.
Okay. Yanner.
That's it. Nailed it. I was like, Tanner sucks. You know what would be good? Yanner. You're close, though. Not with your guess, but with the letter.
Okay. Close as in it is that letter? Y? No. Oh, okay.
It's close to so that
it's
letter.
W. Winston.
No. I'm going to put you out of your misery and the audience probably at this point. I wanted to be Zach. Felt like Zach was a cool name. Maybe there was a Power Ranger named Zach at the time.
There
was. I
don't
remember. Was there?
Yep.
Was he blue or green or what?
I think Zach was the Black Ranger. Billy was blue. Jason was red.
I had to Google it. He was the Black Ranger.
Yeah.
Maybe I was extra cool. I assumed I was like wanted to be like the nerdy blue Power Ranger, but I wanted to be the cool black guy.
You did.
Yeah. But again, obviously couldn't live up to that.
No.
If I had been named Zach, it wouldn't have worked out. So anyway, yeah, wanted to be Zach for no reason. Just thought it sounded cool.
Yeah. Cool
story.
And then
there was a Zach. Yep, that was it. That was, well, so that'll tie in a second, hopefully. We're going to get to two names. Yeah. But before, let's like briefly cover, okay, what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? Now, I think people immediately think of one thing, because it's kind of the way this has been taught for a long time. Why don't you explain it, Glenn? What is taking the Lord's name in vain? You want to give an example? Or?
Yeah. Well, not. Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to. So, like saying Jesus Christ, but in like a, when you're angry, like having that emotion behind it and like screaming it. Or the alternative that comes to mind is GD. You know,
what's God, that mean? GD.
God, I don't want to say it.
Oh, darn it or dang it.
Yeah.
I think we get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying.
Google it if you don't know. I'm just kidding.
I think those are the, from my mindset, the two most prevalent things that come up when you hear saying the Lord's name in vain.
Sure. Yeah. Or I've even heard it like stretched into like saying things like, oh my gosh, or, you know, just using, and it, to be fair, I think those things fit within the definition of taking the Lord's name in vain. Definitely not something we're advocating doing, not using God's name in a way that's just like flippant or not with any reverence. Right.
But there is more to it.
Definitely a lot more to it. And so this is something I think that's a great example of just not taking what you've always heard for granted, right? And just saying like, oh, I'm reading the Ten Commandments. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. I know exactly what that means. Move on. I think even if you're just like slowing down and reading this in English, like not even like digging into Hebrew or anything like that, you can really quickly kind of figure out like, it seems like there's something else here, you know? Because there's no other place where we use the words in vain to mean cursing, right?
Yeah.
At least not that I can think of. And if so, I feel like that's a lesser usage of the word in vain. So I did the classic, like you're writing a, you know, thesis paper in high school. You got to start with the dictionary definition of this thing. Like, I feel like every speech I listen to in high school is the dictionary definition of successful is. Anyway, it's like, I don't know how to start this. So I'm going to go to the dictionary. But all I did was pull up vain. I said, I feel like we're misusing that word. Let's see what vain means.
All right, Zach, tell me what it means.
All right. So the first one is, I think the first one that comes to mind for most people, which is like conceited, right? It's having too much pride in yourself. You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you.
Yeah.
But the other two are, I think, start to give us a little more information. So B is marked by futility or ineffectiveness or ineffectualness. So unsuccessful, useless. Oh, okay. So you're trying in vain to do something. Probably means you're not getting it done.
Yeah.
Or there's another one. C says having no real value, idle, or worthless. So kind of like B, but adds another dimension to it. And so I think if we start to just look at plain English and say, okay, how does that apply to taking God's name in vain? We start to see like, okay, hold on. If I take God's name, right, and I put that on myself, like us, for example, like we call ourselves Christians, which is Christ, right? Taking, right, you know, our Lord's name and putting it on ourselves. But my life is not marked by that, right? That's where we start to see like, oh, okay, this is what it means to take this on, but it's meaningless. It's worthless. It's unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. I'm an unsuccessful representation of the thing I'm trying to represent. So where last week, or maybe I think 2 weeks ago at this point, when we talked about the second commandment, forbidding imaging of God or picturing God in a way that he shouldn't be, this commandment is talking about God in a way that he shouldn't be. I said that in a confusing way, but I think you get what I'm saying. This commandment is referring to talking about God or using his name in a way that it shouldn't. So to let our banter play out here, right?
Okay.
To make that mess at the beginning of the podcast actually pay off. Like, let's talk a little bit about names. So you and I talked about our first names, but my last name is actually something I put a decent amount of thought into, right? Like, I don't know if you have ever thought about like your family name or what its reputation is or its history. And it's something that, you know, for a long time, I've been able to kind of look at my, you know, immediately family history and see like, hey, there's some people with my last name who have done some not great things, right? Mm. And so it doesn't have the best reputation. And I think of like old movies or whatever where these guys are like, or better yet, I'm pretty sure there's like a meme of Birdman the rapper where he's like, put some respect on my name. don't look that up. I'm sure whatever that comes from
I don't even know who that is, so
not appropriate. But anyway, I think of these guys who are talking about like, you know, when you say my name, you better do it with respect.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can totally see that. It's like the legacy of your name has,
yeah,
you know, it carries out. Like, I don't know, even just between me and my brother, like going to school, I think I remember a lot of the teachers that I had growing up being like, oh, your brother was Glenn Brand, like you're a Brand boy.
Sure. And
there's like some weight to it almost.
Yeah, that's a great example. And I don't know if people think about their name as much that way anymore, but like school is a really quick, I had an older brother, so that's something I can totally relate to. But when we start to talk about God's name, we start to think about what names used to mean. This idea comes a lot more into play. Like, people used to care about their name. You think about Genesis, like they were literally saying the God of Abraham, Isaac, and like they were,
sure,
they were representing their entire lineage, right? Like, you know, when Jacob talked about being the son of Isaac and the son of Abraham, like those guys found a lot of importance in where they came from.
Yeah.
So that idea has always been kind of important to me because I know some of my family's history. I've always thought like, hey, I want to change that, right? I want to make it to where, you know, when my kids come up, they say, oh, you're so-and-so's son, or, oh, you're so-and-so's daughter. And then that can go on for generations.
Yeah.
Because I like to tie everything back to an illustration from The Office. It makes me think of the episode where one of his employees tricks Andy, when he's the boss, into thinking that he's related to Michelle Obama. And he gets like really proud of it.
Yeah.
And he makes a huge deal about it. And then like come to find out at the end of the episode, like for a while they think his family owned slaves. And then he like calls to get a correction. And his mom's like, I mean, we didn't actually own slaves. We just transported them. So he's thinking about last names in that way, like, oh, the Bernard name is now soiled because we were slave traffickers.
Right. Or even not to relate everything to The Office, but this is slightly different, but like the Battle of Shroot Farms, like Dwight has all this pride around this battle that took place about it being the earliest battle of, was it the Civil? I forget what war.
Revolutionary War, I think.
Revolutionary, yeah. And it ends up not actually being that at all?
I think it ends up being, man, The Office could get away with some stuff we can't get away with anymore. I think Shroot Farms was actually like a haven for gay people or something.
I think that's what it ended. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, not something Dwight was super excited about. But all this to say, all this talk about last names is that your name previously and still, you know, somewhat to this day is a representation of what you are like, who you are like.
Yeah.
So to take the idea even further, we talked about first names, and I think about, you know, the way we name our kids today, right? So I named my kids just because it sounded good. But if you look in the Bible, people were named by something that meant something about them, right? So Abraham becomes Abraham instead of Abram because God said he's going to be the father of many. And that's what his name means. Then you have Jacob. When he's born, he kind of, you know, tries to sneak out of the womb, essentially out of order. And so they call him the supplanter. That's what Jacob means, or deceiver. And so those names had meaning tied to them very strongly. And that's not necessarily true anymore.
Yeah.
But when you start to think about that with God and his name is not just a name. It is a representation of who he is.
Yeah. I'm even thinking about like what you're saying, the family name, kind of holding weight and that respect and, or hopefully respect. And the Bible really honing in on, like, you know, your name has meaning behind it, and how over time we've kind of strayed away from that. I think you just said, like, sometimes we just pick our kid's name because it sounds good or something like that.
Sure.
I think that was true for our son. Lincoln was not, like, I don't know what that even means. literally, this is going to sound ridiculous. We had a band in high school and had a song about Abe Lincoln flipping pancakes in a wooden kitchen. And I just always remember being like, oh, Lincoln's a cool name. So that's where that came from. But Millie, on the other hand, I think almost kind of does tie into this idea of names having weight, where we picked her name because it came from Julie's grandma.
Family name. Yeah.
Family name. Mm-hmm. You know, her grandma has meant a lot to Julie over the years. And we were like, you know what? We want to continue that on because of, you know, how much we care for her. So I agree, maybe not the meaning of a name, but I think still we do see like some kind of legacy to names that we have come out.
Yeah, there's some symbolism still there. So God's name is similar to that, right? God's name is not just a name. It's not just a way to know who we're referring to. It is this representation of who he is and what he is like. So that's why we see God caring so much about how we use his name. To say it another way, I put this quote in here. We take God's name in vain when we associate his name with things it ought not be associated with, right? So it's slander, it's libel, it's us basically saying things that are not true about God because of the way we're using his name. So when you start to think about this commandment and the second with it, you know, the second being how we represent God visually, the third being how we talk about God, this is kind of like his brand guide, right? Like, I'm in the marketing, you know, design world. I think about things like that, you know. Here's how you use our brand. Here's all the ways you don't use our brand, because you're trying to protect the image, right? You're trying to make sure it doesn't come off as cheap or anything like that. And so, like, I immediately go to a brand like Kleenex, right? Growing up, I referred to any tissue as a Kleenex. And companies like Kleenex spend a lot of money to make sure that stuff doesn't happen, at least in print, because they don't want their name to be used improperly. They want to seem better than the rest. They don't want to seem synonymous to the rest.
Sure,
and so, you know, this commandment following two commandments where God's talking about not worshiping other things, he doesn't want to look synonymous to other gods. He doesn't want to be misrepresented as something he's not. He wants to stand alone and above like he should. So yeah, he's not generic tissue. He is Yahweh, and we need to preserve the integrity of his name so that we reflect his true character.
So on the topic of Yahweh, or there's, I know there's different pronunciations or whatever. Yeah,
and we're probably messing it up.
Which, that in itself, okay, that's where I'm going with this, actually. I have always felt like that is not a name that I want to use often.
Yeah.
It, to me, it almost like it has holiness around it, and it, I just remember hearing a song when I was, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years into my Christian walk, and Yahweh was being sung in it, and I just got really uncomfortable with it. And I was like, I don't know. And not that it was being used wrong or improperly or anything like that, but I think there is some reverence to using the name like we're talking about. And
sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the way you feel about using that is the way we should feel about any way we refer to God, right?
Sure.
We should not want to do so with any irreverence. We should want to do it carefully and do it in a way that's very honoring to God. This breaks down because I think in today's culture, we're probably a lot more like friendly with our parents than maybe they were in Bible times. But it's the same way, like you don't want to speak ill of your dad, right? You think of a little more of a classic, you know, old school type dad, like you called him sir. And I'm not saying that's the right way and we're doing it wrong now or anything like that, but that is, you know, somewhat the way we should think about God. It's not that we're not close with him or friendly with him, but we're also the relationship is much, much more than that.
Yeah.
And we need to do a good job to keep his name holy as it
is. Man, this is all good stuff. I think we are already digging a little bit into God's name being holy and the whys behind all of this. But when we get back, we're just going to talk about some of the ways that we do use God's name in vain that are common, but also ways that like we just don't typically think of using God's name in vain. Yeah, so a lot of good stuff coming up, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
So I don't know if you've noticed, but the whole time we've been doing this podcast, we've been on the boardwalk.
It's amazing. It's really hot out today, actually.
I know, but the breeze comes in every now and then. It really makes you feel good, you know, coming off the ocean behind us. You can even hear people laughing and having a good time down at the carnival a little ways down.
Yeah, and between the funnel cake smells and the smell of suntan lotion, I'm overwhelmed. But yeah, we're busking it up at the beach today. It's great. We got our table set up. We're doing our podcast here. And it's amazing. Even just people watching is really fun for me in this moment.
Yeah, it's a really interesting practice that we've taken up here, busking, but it helps us keep the lights on. And so for you guys who aren't here in real time, we need to set up a solution for you too, and that's a virtual tip jar. So while you may not be this guy rollerblading by with his boombox, or this nice couple here just walking their dog, you can still help us out. And that's the way to do it. If you want to support us and you want to help us keep this thing going, consider giving through that link.
And hey, who knows where you'll see us next week. All right, let's get into this. I'm excited to talk about all these different ways that we disrespect God and take his name.
Are you ready? You just rip roaring, ready to go?
No, I this is all really like interesting to me because you really, I don't, even I don't think of the ways that I do it all the time. Not all the time, but there are times where these things happen.
I do it all the time.
So I think it's going to be interesting maybe for those of you listening to try to like recognize ways that this has happened before and hopefully be able to correct it or have some conviction toward it at least. So yeah, let's jump into this. So what ways do we take God's name in vain?
Well, like you said, you know, up to this point, we've kind of talked about it, you know, in theory. So we're going to dig into a few practical ways. And I'm pulling a lot of this from a guy named Thomas Watson. You can actually read his bits on the Ten Commandments, each of the Ten Commandments online. So I'll link that in the show notes. But I've taken, I think he lists like 11 or 12 things in there, and I've tried to kind of group them to make them a little more memorable into some bigger categories.
Sure.
The first one of which is, we take God's name in vain when we speak of him flippantly.
Okay, so I think we sort of described this a little bit earlier, but let's break it down a little bit. What do we mean when we're saying flippantly?
Yeah, well, so the dictionary definition, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, so it means what it sounds like it means, you know, when you're speaking carelessly of God. But two specific things that Watson pointed out is speaking slightly and irreverently of God. So to me, I think of like, you know, joking, you know, like, I don't know if you ever watched like South Park or Family Guy growing up, and they have some crude representations of God. And I would think that's probably not a great way to do things.
Yeah.
And I think if we're not careful sometimes, you know, we can make light of things, make light of God, or, you know, godly things. And that's not great. So we should show reverence to God the same way you would think of, like, you know, like the old school father we talked about earlier, or like a king, you know, like your honor, your majesty. I'm not saying you have to be poetic every time you talk to God, but you should do so with, you know, a little bit of reverence.
Yeah.
Another example Watson had was when we use God's name in idle discourse. And so, to hopefully explain that a little bit, I pulled a quote from him I think is really good. And it says, to bring his name in at every turn when we are not thinking of him, to say, oh God, or oh Jesus, is to take God's name in vain. So kind of like you mentioned up at the front of the show, you know, saying things like Jesus Christ or whatever. Like, I think that's, you know, just idly using it, flippantly using it, and something you should try to get rid of. Maybe even, you know, saying things like, oh my God, or whatever. When we're not actually thinking about God, we should probably try to rein that in.
Yeah.
And maybe that feels legalistic or something like that. It definitely would have to me a couple of years ago, I'm positive. But it's not, hey, here's all these rules and you have to keep them perfectly, or shame on you. But it is, as Christians who are trying to be sanctified, like, we need to take this seriously, right? And we need to continue to refine, and this is part of it.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most common use that I think of when talking about using the Lord's name in vain. I also think that, to your point, I think a lot of people don't know why it's bad to say those things.
Yeah.
And so they do it so flippantly. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are not Christians that I hear say this all the time, and it's harder for me to say to them, like, hey dude, don't do that, because they don't have the same understanding per se.
Yeah.
But even for Christians, sometimes I think there's just a lack of understanding. Like, no, the reason we don't do this is because there is holiness to God's name. There is, we do want to be reverent to God's name. Like, it's not just something to be thrown around. So yeah, I think I think there is weight to it, and it shouldn't be overlooked. It's not being
legalistic.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say nitpicky. Same thing.
Yeah, at the very least, I do think we're giving this example that may just live in the subconscious of our friends, right? That we don't really honor that God that we talk about. Because
sometimes
we don't talk about him in a way that's honoring, even if it's just these little flippant things. And so I think that is one that's very prevalent and very common because it's so easy. It's just flippant. But let's move on to the other two categories. The second of which is when we talk about God hypocritically. So this is a big one that I think of when I think about, okay, us wearing the name of Christian and not living up to it. Watson has a couple examples again here. He says, when we profess God's name but do not live answerably to it. So this kind of wraps up that idea that you have said, you know, I've been making a big deal about for a few years now, because I feel like people aren't talking about this enough. When we take his name and, you know, put our little Christian badge on our shirt, and then we do a horrible job of representing the person that that badge stands for, that's taken his name in vain. That's futile and pointless. Watson, it's in quotes in what he said. He doesn't say who this is from, so I'm not sure the original source, but I couldn't help but repeat this, which is, pretended holiness is merely double wickedness, right? So you're wicked in the fact that you're not holy, but then on top of it, you're pretending to be holy, so double shame on you. I think about like our kids, like if they do something wrong, like they're already in trouble, but then when they lie about it to you, like now you're in deep doo-doo. And so that's what we do when we take Christ's name and we don't live up to it. We're lying about who we are. You know, we're lying about what we represent because we're not representing God. So Watson's other examples under this category is when we worship him with our lips, but not with our hearts. So again, like maybe we know all the right words to say. Maybe we can play the part of Christian well. So outwardly, we're coming off pretty well. You know, maybe it seems like we're representing Christ okay, but that's all a farce, man. I know I've lived through seasons like this. I struggle with this still on probably a weekly basis where I want to sound like the good Christian guy, but I'm just not really in it. You know, I'm just doing it for my own glory at that point. And then the last one Thomas gives is when we pray to him, but we do not believe him. And this is one that kind of I had to, stop and think about it because this isn't one I had heard talked about a lot, but it's just another form of hypocrisy. Like we're praying to God, but again, we don't actually think he's going to do it, right? So it's just this lip service that we're giving him of like, oh, God, it'd be nice if you healed that person, or it'd be nice if you, you know, provided this thing for us. I mean, he's not going to, but I know I should pray this. So I'm going to, how vain is that? I mean, who are we doing that for? And also, just what are we doing? You know, like I don't have anything else to say except that seems like a pretty pointless practice.
So I'm just going to take back what I said earlier. okay. When I said that the idea of being flippant with God's name is like probably the most common thing we do in using the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
I take that back. I think this idea of being hypocritical is actually one of the more prominent things that we as Christians do. Maybe it's just not as recognizable.
Yeah. Because that's why it frustrates me so much, because we do it so much and people talk about it so little. I mean, people talk about hypocrisy a lot, especially non-Christians, I think, use as an excuse often as to why they don't pursue God or try to check out a church or whatever. But as far as Christians, when we talk about the third commandment, this is kind of like leftovers most of the time. But this seems like the real meat of what we should be talking about here.
It really is. I think we've talked about this more on Bible and Stuff than anything else, but we are constantly talking about how the name of Christians is just being dragged through the mud constantly by people calling themselves Christians and then living in such a way that is not godly at all.
Well, I mean, so it's funny that we feel this on so many smaller levels. Like, you know, I would consider myself conservative as far as my morals and things like that. I'm not a super political person, so I would have trouble probably identifying with the conservative movement in that sense. But I do get a little frustrated that those people put the name conservative on them and then do some of the stupid stuff that they do. I feel like they're giving us a bad name. I think people feel this way about maybe their state or their town. Like, hey, that person's given, you know, Texans a bad name, or that person's given, you know, people from this town a bad name. And so often we don't check that same thing when it comes to being a Christian, right? Instead, we put the little Jesus fish on our car and we flip people off in traffic. Like, we should think twice about that. We are giving Christ a bad name, right? We are associating his name with something it should not be associated with.
Right. Now, I just also, I think I want to make it clear that we are all hypocrites.
Sure.
Right? We will never be able to live up to who God is.
Yeah.
So we're all living in this struggle with this, But I think there is a big difference between having that struggle and feeling that conviction, like recognizing when you're not living out the way that you should as a Christian.
Yeah.
And just downright abusing it.
Sure.
So if you're listening and you're a Christian, don't think that we are just saying like, man, you suck so bad. We got this under control. That's not necessarily the case. We're just saying there is a lot of abuse in this area.
For sure. I mean, so we're going to get to Jesus. Like, we're not going to leave you hanging with, you know, all your shame and stuff. But I think that's important. Like, so when we talk about these things, and I think this is going to happen a decent amount in the Ten Commandments series, when we're calling Christians like ourselves to live better than we are living, we're not saying, hey, earn your righteousness. That's not it.
Yeah.
That's Jesus has to do that, right? Even if you tried now and you did perfect from here on out, you already screwed it up. Too late. So we're not saying that, but we are saying like live in repentance, right? Live in a state and posture of repentance. If you realize through us talking about something or through reading the Bible, like, hey, I'm not living up to this, you should work on that, right? That's called sanctification. You should, by the power of the Holy Spirit, pray that you can do better. Pray that you can be a better witness. Pray that you can be a better example of who God is and what his name stands for. So for the sake of time, let's keep trucking on and hit this third category before we start to wrap up here. So the third one, and I think these are all bad. I think... you know, in the way that like all sin is sin, these are all things you shouldn't be doing. But this one is the one I feel like this is like special place in hell kind of sin. So the last one is when we use the Lord's name in vain, when we speak of him deceivingly. Okay, so we've talked about flippantly, we've talked about hypocritically, but this last one I think is not like, oh, you know, that was a careless word, I shouldn't have let that out. And not like, I'm trying to live up, but I'm not quite doing as good as I should. This one is full on, I am using God's name for my advantage, and I do not care.
This is what Satan does.
This is what Satan does. This is what some pastors do. You know, some of the big guys you see on TV who are horrible people to make millions in God's name, to take advantage of people in God's name. But let's not be too fast to say this is what other people do with God's name, right?
True.
Because this is stuff we do too, right? So even when I think of things like, you know, going through this motions of wanting to look like the good Christian guy and get all the benefits from that, but I know deep down my heart's not in it, I'm deceiving. Right. So I am putting forth a picture of me to get something that I want when I don't really mean it. But anyway, let's use Watson's examples here again. So deceivingly is when in any way we profane and abuse his word. So we take his word, we twist it to mean something it doesn't. Maybe we take stuff out of his word that we don't really want in there so that we can kind of live the way we want. Maybe, you know, we, again, use his word to oppress people or use his word to justify things. Like the Bible has been used to justify lots of horrible things. Slavery, it's been used to justify murder, you know, all different kinds of issues. If you want to get there, you probably can. And that's taking God's name in vain. So another example Watson gives is when we prefix God's name to any wicked action. So when I say...
Yeah, explain this one to me.
Well, when I say God told me to X, Y, and Z, and X, Y, and Z is clearly not something that God told me to do. So again, you go back to the TV evangelists who say, you know, God wants you to sow your seed of $1,000 gift to fund my private jet. You know, you are taking something wicked and you're putting God's name on it so it seems holy. But again, you know, I think when we say, when someone asks us if we'll do something at church and we say, I'll pray about it. And then we don't pray about it and we just tell them no. I think that can be a way in which we're doing something wicked, which is blowing that person off and not taking them seriously. And even if you still come to the same conclusion of saying no, we're being dishonest in the way we're doing it. And we're using God as our scapegoat. And then the last example Watson gives is when we speak evil of God. So this is, I think, maybe top of the mountain where we just flat out say things that aren't true about him, right? We flat out give him characteristics that are wicked and evil and are not who he is. That's this whole exercise is God protecting his real character by making sure we speak rightly about him. And this last one is just blatantly doing the opposite.
Yeah, no, I think this whole idea of deception with God and his word, I've seen uses of it, but man, I wasn't even thinking like the whole idea of like saying you'll pray over about something.
Yeah.
Or using like, yeah, God is really telling me that I, you know, this isn't the route I should go, or
yeah,
or God's telling me I really need to take this trip. Like, is God really telling you, or is this just your own desires? And
sure.
So those are things that I think we take for granted, we abuse, but tend not to actually think about how significant it is when we do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. These are things that when we talk about the third commandment, we don't talk about enough.
Yeah.
Right? I think this is really what God is getting at. He cares that he is represented well, and that although including saying things like Jesus when we stub our toe or GD or whatever, it's a lot more than that.
Right, just stick with son of a, or something along that line instead.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Anyway. So for the sake of time, I'm going to try to fly through the whole second half of our notes here. But you'll get the condensed version, and you'll be happy about it probably because you're already looking at the time, like how much longer are these guys going to go. But I feel like it's all been valuable so far, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, I am biased. The next thing we need to talk about is this commandment isn't just a commandment. It comes with a warning, right? It says, don't take the Lord your God's name in vain. Why? Because the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Well, that stinks because we just spent 20 minutes saying how we all do
all
this
screwed.
Stuff. Yeah. And so, you know, as I said earlier, thankfully, we're not going to leave you there. We're not just going to be like, yep, good luck with that. Shouldn't have messed up. We're going to have to talk about Jesus at some point, who is the guy who isn't guilty of doing any of these things, but came to remove our guilt. So we're talking about the way God is spoken of. And then there's a guy who comes along that is the living word of God. And he takes on flesh. And he lives as our example, how to do these things right. But he also is the living sacrifice that allows us to have this guiltiness removed from us, right? So this is a commandment with a warning, meaning we should take it seriously, but also even more so pushes us into faith in Jesus and reliance on Jesus to cover all the mess ups that we have made. So now that we're in the Jesus portion of this, let's kind of push ahead and see what Jesus has to say about the third commandment. So this is one of the commandments that we're going to see Jesus actually address in the Sermon on the Mount. There's multiple commandments that he's like, hey, you've heard it written this, but I'm going to tell you this. And so it's this idea of Jesus fulfilling the Ten Commandments. He's not coming to get rid of them. He's coming to make these things more robust. And he's coming to, again, cover our mess ups, but give us a way to start living these out, not just in deed, but in our hearts, right? Actually worshiping and serving him. And so one of the things Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount is oaths and vows. And that's actually a whole section of this third commandment that we kind of have skimmed over up to this point that Thomas Watson writes a lot about in his thing. And it's about not making vows by God's name, like I swear to God, or, you know, putting your hand on the Bible in court and then, you know, lying. So yeah. Things like that, you know, using God's name to cover up your inadequacy, right? Mm. We're using him as a farce. And Jesus says, hey, you know, you've heard it say, like, you got to do vows this way or that way. And I'm saying, don't make vows. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. So he kind of transforms this instead of saying, just stop that. Just stop that. Just be a person of godly character. Quit using God's name to cover your bad character and be a person who says means yes when they say it and means no when they say it. And so that's one way that he kind of transforms this commandment. But I think another way that might be a little, not more important, but is just as important is in the midst of all this kind of harshness where we've really kind of like hammered people about how bad we are at living up to the third commandment, he also teaches us to pray right after the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, pray this way, our Father in heaven. And he does say, hallowed be thy name, right? So he's giving reverence to God, but he also calls him Father, right? And this isn't the first time this has happened. God's been referenced as a father a couple times in the Old Testament, but no one really quite does it the way Jesus does it. And especially the way Jesus tells us, this is how you need to pray. You call him your father.
Yeah.
And he doesn't call him daddy. He doesn't. That's maybe a pet peeve of mine. There is this kind of prevalent idea that like Abba Father actually kind of means like daddy father. I don't actually think that's true. I'm not saying if you do that, like you're 100% in the wrong. I shouldn't have said anything, but I think it's important that he uses the word father. That's still a reverent way of talking to your dad, but it's also a very personal way of talking to God, right? It's not, oh, great, wonderful God, you know, your majesty. Sure. No, I'm not saying those things are wrong. You know, I've heard people pray in church like that, and that is an act of, you know, giving God's name reverence. But I think the word father and the way Jesus talked to God as his father is this really beautiful way of saying, give him his reverence, give him his due, but he's close and he cares. He's not distant and cold, ready to like strike you down as soon as you do the wrong thing. Like he loves you. And he cares for you and he's going to provide for you like a good father. So that's why I say that's important. It's because in the context of what we've said, I think we got to remember that at the end of the day, Jesus called God his father. Now he said, hallowed be his name, but he called him his father.
Right.
And the last point we had here is, hey, at the end of this whole thing, God's name is going to be hallowed and revered as it should be. You know, we have in Philippians where it says, one day every knee shall bow on earth as it is in heaven, or in heaven and on earth rather, and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But then we also have in Revelation, you know, that big scary book that people get all worked up about, where we see people singing to God with harps. You know, we've talked about heaven before, how it's not all harps, but sometimes it is harps. and people are singing, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And again, we see God's character and what he's done tied to his name. And so we're going to glorify his name because of who he is and what he's done. And that's where this whole thing ends. You know, he gets a lot of flack now. And if you're a Christian, thankfully Jesus has paid for that. But at the end of the day, he's going to get his glory and every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he is a father to be revered and he has a name to be hallowed.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, I don't know. We've covered a lot in this that I think doesn't get covered often or often enough, maybe. And I'm blown away by some of the things that I take for granted and abuse. I've used that word a lot, but the things that I abuse, it's been really eye-opening. But I think overall, the big takeaway is that God is holy. There is reverence to his name. And if we want to find an example of how we should live and respond to who God is and what his name means for us, we look to Jesus because he set the example for us and showed us the way there.
Sure. So, all right, guys, that is it for this week. As always, you can find us on social media. That's Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can reach out to us directly if you have feedback or questions or want to tell us what you'd like to hear about next. We are in this Ten Commandments series, but we're breaking it up here and there. And we also got a lot more to do when we finish this thing. And you can do that by emailing us at hello@BibleAndStuff.com. And if you've made it this far, you must be very, very committed to us. And we appreciate that. And one thing we would encourage you to do, we would ask you to do, is to share this series with a friend. We're really proud about the series. We're putting a lot of work into it. And so we feel really good about it, and we would love for more people to get to hear. So just take 5 seconds, pull out your phone, hit the little share button, and send it to someone. And just say like, hey, check this out when you get a minute. You know, they're doing a cool series on the Ten Commandments that's hopefully you would consider worth a listen. So we'd really appreciate that. That's our big call to action. That's our big ask this week. And if everyone who made it this far would do that, we'd double this bad boy, I think, Glenn.
Yeah, I think we would too, Zach. Thanks again for joining us, and hopefully you continue on. We're excited to talk more about some of the other commandments that we're going to be covering within the Ten Commandments. So yeah, keep listening.
Peace.
Peace.
The Bible and Stuff podcast is a production of Bible and Stuff. We do more than just podcasts, so if you want to know more about something we've covered on the show, just visit our website at BibleAndStuff.com. Our show is hosted by Tanner Britt and Glenn Brand, and our theme music is by The Sing Team. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.